Hi, I'm Gideon, dear friends, and welcome to today's episode from the Warriors of Love Ministries, titled Uncovering the Unsearchable Greatness of God, a journey of transformation to find rest, renewal, and righteousness for the unconditional love and limitless grace of Christ. And a little bit about the story and the events that transpired before that is I was reading my Bible yesterday, in the early parts of the morning, and the Lord led me to the verse, Psalm 145, verse 3 to 4, and I'll read it from the New King James Version, where it says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." And it just so happened that as I was meditating upon this verse, I really felt such a strong leading from the Holy Spirit to look at the hidden message, you know, by analyzing the Hebrew letters behind the word great in Psalm 135, verse 3 to 4, which also translates into the Hebrew word kadol. So the Hebrew letters for the word kadol are the following: Gimel, Dalet, and Lamet. But you know, you guys, as with always, you know, and this is just a little side note, so stay with me as to why I'm doing this and the methodology that the Lord's given me over the years to analyze these Hebrew letters is the two key core components that they must fulfill is, one, they must point to Yeshua, aka Jesus, you know, and two, they must be supported by scripture and in context with what is being said here. So whenever you look at a Hebrew letter, which has a lot of various different meanings, the Lord said it's okay to use more than one letter, you know, meaning for a specific letter, such as, you know, either the Gimel, the Dalet, or the Lamet in this case, and meld it together so that you then can form a sentence after you figured out the meanings of these, of every single one of these individual letters. So keeping in mind, again, I will just rehash, we need to focus on and ask the Holy Spirit to show us how does this point to Jesus, because when we see Jesus, we have the ability to be changed, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we with unveiled faces beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, who is Christ Jesus, aka Yeshua, and vice versa, are changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. And that's really why it is so important that we behold Yeshua, because it's only when we find him, you know, him who is the Word made flesh, that we are able to be changed. So here we go to analyzing the meaning of the Hebrew letters Gimel, Dalet, and Lamed. So are you guys excited? Oh my goodness me, I tell you, I'm so excited because this is just a really beautiful Rebbe. Really, really, really beautiful. Glory to God. So here we go. So the Gimel refers to the rich or the wealthy man, which is Jesus, because the earth is Lord and fullness thereof. And you, to be honest, you don't really get much more richer or much more wealthy than Jesus, because, you know, he made something out of nothing. He made everything we see today out of nothing. Hence, you know, it ultimately, the rich man refers to Yeshua, aka Jesus, running after the poor man to bestow good upon men. So the Gimel is the rich man, Yeshua, aka Jesus, running after the poor man to bestow good upon him. And then the second letter is the letter Dalet, which also represents humility and the door to God's house, because what did Jesus say? This is how it points to him. I am the door. I am the door. In John 10, Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. He who enters through me will find pasture. So glory be to God on that one. Because humility, you know, God said, as it says in scripture, I will give grace. You know, I will humble the proud, and I will give grace to the humble. You know, he will bring low the proud, and God will give grace to the humble. And that's why humility is so important, because, you know, as scripture says, man has nothing, you know, and man, it really means it. Man has nothing except it be given to him from God. And that's really a very good standpoint to have, you know, that we have nothing, and thus our entirety of our dependence is upon who he is. And in essence, then, when we are humble, you know, as the thief on the cross was, as many of the disciples were recognizing their complete and utter irrelevance, you know, aside from God's grace, you know, being bestowed upon them, you know, them being so bankrupt, spiritually corrupt, etc., etc., you know, that we need Jesus. That is humility. You know, that is the pre-cross side of the humility. We'll come to the cross, post-cross side, the resurrection side, the in Jesus side of humility. But that's really what it means, you know, before one comes to Jesus, you know, that we acknowledge our complete need of him, you know. And that's the door. Humility is ultimately the door's house, because what did the camel do? And this is another beautiful parable. You know, the camel went through the eye of the needle, and we often think, you know, oh, you know, we take a needle, hold it up to the sky, and we look through it, you know, and we think to ourselves, how is it possible that the camel is able to go through, you know, something so small? But we forget to realize that the Bible was written with the Hebrew mindset. So when we look at the term, you know, the eye of the needle, what it actually refers to is a gate that is so small that a camel can only enter into, you know, if the camel gets on his knees, crawls through, and, you know, de-weights himself of everything, you know, all his baggage he was carrying, he's got to de-weight himself so that he can enter through it. And that's really, you know, the ultimate picture of humility. And that is, in essence, a picture of how we get into God's house. We don't get into it, you know, I'm rich, you know, like the rich man. You know, we get into it through humility. Glory be to God. But onwards to the third letter, which is really beautiful, the letter Lamed. And I really had quite a bit of a struggle with this one, because I thought to myself, how on earth does it lead to you? Because when you look at the pictograph of the letter Lamed, it actually looks like a shepherd's staff. You know, it looks like a shepherd's staff. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, it refers back to Psalm 23, you know, in the Bible, where it says, and he leads me, you know, beside still waters. And the great thing about this, you know, this beautiful verse is that Yeshua, aka Jesus, is the good shepherd, you know, that leads us. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. And a little bit of a mystery, when you study Hebrew, which is really important, even though the Bible was written in English, just how it points to Jesus, aka Yeshua, or Yeshua, aka Jesus again, is the fact, you know, that the Hebrew word for beside is actually not beside at all. You know, he doesn't lead us beside waters, but the Hebrew word for beside means above. So what a beautiful picture of Jesus, you know, and that victorious living of us walking above the waters. So coming back, you know, and pulling it all back in before I go off to my Christian news, you know, slant of things, we're going to take all these meanings of these letters, more than one from the looks of it, each and every single one of these three letters, and we're going to put it together. And again, everything that I say, glory be to God, is supported by scripture, and you will find the scriptural support in the endnotes for this. So we're going to put the letters together. If you don't understand what I'm doing, we're going to put the letters together to form the meanings of the letters together, to form, just as they form a word, you know, that we can then thereby form a sentence and figure out God's hidden message for us. So what it says here, so keeping in mind, this podcast is about God's greatness, you know, the unsearchable greatness of God. We will focus on that and begin the sentence with that, and then, you know, add in the meanings of each and every one of these letters, you know, meaning or meanings, more than one, so that we can get to where the Lord wants us to be, which is the full conclusive meaning, as far as he's given me, glory be to God, of what he's trying to say with regards to the hidden meaning of this word, the greatness, the gadol of the Lord. So the sentence that we got is, the greatness of God is displayed by Yeshua, the rich man running after the poor man, us, to bestow good upon us and invite us to enter through humility, through him, the door to God's house, into his Father's house, where he, as the good shepherd, leads us to walk victoriously, seated in heavenly places, beside, above, you know, in Hebrew word, above, remember, the still waters, where we can find rest and nourishment for our souls. Then this gives us the strength through the restoration of our soul to turn back to him, so that our relationship with him and others are restored, and so that we may experience his restoration and renewal in all areas of our lives. This further enables us to then be able to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the reason why you're seeing a little bit more added into the sentence than I previously alluded to is because Lord said, you know, in context, this verse is a lot about Psalm 23, and therefore, you know, you can then take what was said before and what follows after being a consequence of the thing which happened before. That's the way he said, that's one of the ways, you know, Psalm 23 should be analyzed, because it's all, you know, Yeshua, Jesus, God, he always did things in code. You know, he always, even though it might not seem that way to us, he always wrote and set a pre-designed order, of which only he understands the fullness of it all, so that we can grasp it, you know, even more fully and understand. I mean, not every time, but for most of the time, especially with regards to the Psalms, you know, that what happened before is the basically has what follows after as a consequence of what happened before. And that's why it's so important when we look at Psalm 23, you know, where it says, you know, he leads us beside the still waters so that we can find rest and nourishment for our souls, you know. And then it says, he restores my soul, you know, he renews my soul, he turns my soul back to him through that goodness of God, so that we may have a relationship with him. And the next verse which follows after that, you know, he restores my soul, you know, he makes me to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it's only when that restoration of the soul happens that we are able to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's not our willpower, it's nothing else other than, you know, us first having our souls restored, you know, first being filled with that spiritual strength to obey God. Because, you know, as Jesus himself said, without me you can do nothing. So that's the reason why we took the Psalms, you know, and added in a little bit extra from, you know, excerpts from these verses, extractions from these verses to add to the meanings. Because, you know, as I explained before, what follows after is naturally a consequence of what happened before. A lot of times in the Bible, especially with the Psalms. So it's important to know that. This is a good Bible study tip in here for you guys. So isn't that amazing? You know, and I just really feel that we should, glory be to God, close out this thing in prayer, you know, and that we may realize that it's actually the goodness of God for us while we were still sinners that leads us to repentance and to turning back to him and serving him with all our hearts, mind, and body and soul. You know, it's the goodness of God which leads that shub to turn back to him, you know. And may this be a declaration of our hearts and of our fervent prayer, not just for ourselves, but for others as well, that we may know the goodness of God. For it's only his goodness and his loving kindness, being the rich man chasing us after us, the poor man, you know, like the father chased after the prodigal son, you know, that changes us. None of us are the way we are without Jesus. You know, and that's a very important thing to realize. You know, nobody's ever going to change, you know, unless they know how much God loves them. Because as scripture says in 1 John 4 verse 19, we love because he first loved us. And it's God's love which never, ever, 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 ever fails. And may that be our prayer, you know, may that be our prayer for the world, that God displays not just his justice upon the world, you know, not just avenging those, you know, who desire, you know, are in need of justice, but that he displays his goodness even to those who are undeserving, you know, of which we all are. You know, we can't any one of us say, you know, that we are deserving, because to be quite frank, we are not deserving at all. Not in the least, mind you, not in the very least, you know, because as I said before, man has nothing except it be given to him from God. You know, so may this be our prayer, you know, that God not just show his just judgments upon his world, but his loving kindness and his mercy, you know, and his unmerited favor upon people, you know, that it fills their hearts, that it causes them to repent and to turn back to God, because it's the love of God which never fails. May that be our prayer. May we declare this over ourselves, over our family, and over the nations today. And as a result, may we see, I decree and I declare and I know that we will see the world will change for the better, for the manifestation of God's kingdom here on earth and for his most highest glory. Thanks for tuning in to Uncovering the Unsearchable Greatness of God, a journey of transformation to find rest, renewal, and righteousness through the unconditional love and limitless grace of Christ. We hope you enjoyed this episode and found it insightful. If you want to hear more Christ-centered, Bible-based, identity-affirming content, make sure to subscribe to our podcast, Warriors of Love Ministries, available on all major podcasting platforms.